We're shedding our masks and breaking down walls. Hell, we may even drop our drawers. That's right. We're going commando with Angela and Dana.
Hi, my name is Dana Sardano, and this is Angela DeMarco, and we are going commando. Going Commando is a little show that we put together because we understand the importance of authenticity. We understand that...
Oh, someone's excited for today.
Oh, my God. We understand that the problem with the world today is that people are afraid to be who they are. And they're afraid to step into their power and truly embrace what makes them special and what makes them great. Somewhere along the lines, we have learned that it is shameful to embrace our greatness. And we're here to tell you it's not. And we're doing our best to do that ourselves. And hopefully by doing so, we encourage you to do the same. Angela, I don't know what this happened, but...
be you. I think this is becoming a common theme, especially talking about chakras. But yeah, a lot of people, we are running into it time and time again. You know, we interact with a lot of people on a daily basis. And you can tell, it's so easy to sniff out inauthenticity now. And then it makes us, like, it makes me not want to hang out with you. Because I'm like, oh, put down the mask. Because I see what's behind the mask. I see the awesome person that's there. The beautiful soul that may be broken or may need a little nurturing and love. Like, it's there. And you guys think, like, the ones who have this mask, you think that this mask is a better version of you. But it's not. It's just that it's like a magnifier to what's really inside. And it's not serving you. It's not serving you.
And you don't realize this, but you're not truly living the true beauty and fulfillment of life because you're cutting yourself off because of the fear of what lies deep. And we're not telling you this from a place of ivory tower. We're telling you this because we've been there. A place of ivory tower?
I'm thinking like ivory tower. I just had a picture of me 10 years ago. There's no ivory tower here.
There's no ivory tower. Seriously, like we know what it feels like to live. Like my mask, like Angela's mask was a little bit more like, hey, everything's fine. Mine was like, fuck with me and find out. Like that was my mask. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And when you met me, I wore that mask.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. You know, I could overcome anything. But at the end of the day, we're all human beings and it hurts. And we want to feel it. Yeah, whatever. Okay. That was a bit of a tangent. Angela, how was your weekend?
So I just wanted to do a little shout out. So last week on Tuesday night, I went to the movie theater because Pearl Jam released their album Dark Matter, and they did this really cool listening party thing. First of all, I told Maddie, okay, I'm going to this theater at this time in case I'm thinking no one's going to be there. I was going to be a dark theater by myself. But when I got there, there were a lot of people there. And I was telling you, Dana, about it. And first of all, the experience was awesome because they played the whole album in the dark. And you got to like just listen to it and experience it and close your eyes. Then they did it with visuals and the lyrics. So you really got like immersed into the music. And it was such an awesome way to be introduced to the music. It was so, so, so cool. So shout out to all of those guys at Pearl Jam, the Pearl Jam franchise. But I was saying how like... I was out by myself, totally cool, totally confident, like not going to drag somebody who doesn't like Pearl Jam to this thing. And the theater was packed and only the people that came together were talking to each other. But there were a lot of people who went by themselves. And it's not like, we're not like the Grateful Dead where you're like, oh my God, you're a Pearl Jam fan. That means we're best friends forever. No, we are Gen X. We are like, cool. We have the same interest. Yeah, that was a pretty cool riff. I'm going to go over here now and enjoy the music in my own little silo. Like, it's really funny. And I've experienced that time and time again with concerts. Now, there are people that sleep out for the GA seats, which is like against the rail when you're standing at the concert. Mm-hmm. They sleep out overnight. I have friends that do that. They're insane. You guys aside, because you spend 24 hours together like dirty in the street. you guys create your own special thing. But like for us normies who like just get seats and like it's every time I go, I'm around all 10 club people and I'm not like, hey, that's like, hey, that was cool. Yeah. But we're all like tunnel vision in our own little worlds. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you lucky girl, get to experience it. Hey. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
You know what's funny, Angela? As you're saying this, in Decoding the Woo-Woo, when I introduce energy, frequency, vibration, introduce all that, I talk about concert goers. I'm like, you know, just as an example, I used it. I'm like, if you go to, and I used examples of concerts I've been to. I'm like, I've been to more than this because I'm such the concert goer, but I use these examples. U2, Pink Floyd, Barry Manilow, Dave Matthews, Bon Jovi, right? Each one of these concerts, there's a different type of people. Yeah, they may look different, even different ages or whatever, but there's a different feel. And that's the frequency, the vibration, the people that carry that go. So you at Pearl Jam, or, you know, doing anything Pearl Jam related, I was there in 1994, like when it was like, wow, who the hell is this? You know what I mean? There was a feeling in the grunge feeling in the early to mid 90s, and it was angsty and it was solitary. And it was isolated even. It was leave me alone. I got this. And the fact that that feeling is carried in the music and it's carried with the people that follow the music through all these years is a really cool thing.
It's really cool. No, it's super cool. And so just because this is really interesting, my first experience with Pearl Jam was in 1992. My friend, who was a hippie, had a cassette tape of 10, threw it in. I was like, I'm not listening to your hippie crap. But when my uncle died, I remember being at this dive bar in Long Beach on Long Island. And in the jukebox, they played Black and Alive, two Pearl Jam songs, over and over again, because it was like speaking. It allowed me to communicate with the feelings that I had because I was Gen X, right? There's no talking about how you feel. And every time an album comes out, every time there's a new song by Pearl Jam, there's a song that speaks to how I feel. So I don't have to express it because I get to express it when I sing. And that's the thing that's carried on, is like, we get to have like our emotions. They taught me how to express myself. And it seems like they go through the same kind of life stuff, you know, like breakups and all the generic stuff, but it's always around the same time I do too.
Yeah, we all go through the same thing. You know, nobody's special. We're all going through it. It just has a different color, a different hue, a different vibration, a different, you know, sound, whatever it is. So I think this is a really good segue to what we're talking about today, because we're talking about creativity. Expression, throat chakra stuff, but the creativity, the allowance of the creativity and allowing it to mold us into who we are. But before we get into that, I know you got something you want to say.
I always got something I want to say. So this season we're talking about, and thank you for allowing me to go off on my favorite band. this season is the season 6, and we're talking about like, it's all about balance. And we're going through the chakras. We're doing 2 episodes per chakra, and we're using Dana's book, Veda Finds Her Crown. It's available on Amazon. And it's a sweet little story about these kids that she wrote for adolescents, really. Each child represents, each character represents a chakra, and they go through their stuff and they get, you know, they're all banged up and they help each other. But in the back of the book, for the second half, it's an entire workbook on questions you can ask yourself, how to figure yourself out, how to get rid of those masks that you're hiding behind. And the work is really beautiful, and you could do it by yourself if you're a Gen Xer, because you could just get the book and do it by yourself. You can get the book and follow along. You know, our episodes are evergreen. So just go back to episode 64 or 65, whatever the one that says.
Again. 64. I know,
I always forget. Whatever the first one is, we talk about the overview of the chakras and how they practically relate. Yeah. So each week we're going to do a chakra. So we're going to do it twice. We're going to talk about the imbalances, what it is, what age of resonance, and then we're going to talk about how to balance it. So today we're talking about the sacral chakra, part 2.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you could tell by my opening, I'm super excited, long time about this, because when we talked about the sacral, if you didn't hear the previous episode, we talked about the greatest age of resonance for the sacral chakra is between the ages of like 7, 8, and 14. And that's pre-adolescence into adolescence. So any kind of trauma, any kind of just life experience that hasn't been properly reconciled, anything like that affects our sacral chakra. And Angela and I talked about things in our lives, serious stuff that had affected our sacral chakra, but here's how it affects it. The sacral chakra, when balanced, you have a zest for life. you have a passion, you know what you enjoy, and you don't feel any guilt in enjoying it. You want to go out and you want to embrace life. Your sexuality and sensuality is not a thing. You're comfortable with it, not to the extreme on this end and not where you're hiding out on this end. It's all good and it's all comfortable. When it's imbalanced, you can fall into depression. You lose the desire to go and be in the world, you know, with all of the sensations that come with it. And so there's so many specific examples I could give you, but what I really want to focus on today, and then we're going to focus on, you know, how do we make that better, you know, is the what we do, because it's about our sensations. It's about our feelings. It's about feeling the world around us through, you know, enjoying music, right? Or being creative, knowing that we're the creators of our own reality, driving the ship of our lives. We tend to, especially at that age, 12, 13, 14, when we feel the loss of control, we feel like life is happening to us. We tend to numb out our sensations. We tend to avoid distract ourselves because it's too painful to feel what we're feeling. In a balanced sacral chakra, it's uncomfortable because we're learning and growing. But when it's in balance, it's too painful. I started smoking pot on the daily at 12 years old.
Yeah.
Angela was in bars with her father, 13, 14, drinking. And we learn that if we avoid, and it's not just drugs and alcohol. It's the constantly on the phones. It's the impulse buying. It's the gossiping even, because you're kind of like in other people's stories. It's the being obsessed with the ideals that we set in pop culture. It's anything outside of us. So it's something to think about, because if you are a parent of an adolescent child and you start to see these imbalances, that's what it looks like when they're too video games, too far outside themselves. Again, it's just about imbalance. Not like you can't do these things, but too far outside of yourself. If you're an adult and you're still utilizing these coping mechanisms, it's something to look at. So I think that, I mean, of all the things, that one thing about how we numb and distract and avoid and what that looks like in all the aspects of our lives is let's start there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I think for me, because I was so kind of like ignored, that my way of learning the world was through like books and through pop culture and through my friends who didn't know shit. You know what I mean? We didn't have the internet back then to like learn shit, but I didn't know anything. My mother never talked to me about sex. She never talked to me about how my period was going to come. Like, I never know like how to handle feelings, how to talk about the bullies at school. Like, my mother's thing was like, you have to be pretty and you have to be popular. And when I wasn't those things, I was an embarrassment. So
very similar story here.
What did that even mean to me? I didn't even know what it meant to be popular. You know what I mean? Like, what does a girl do to become popular?
Wow.
And that because found out. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
With a certain population. Yeah. But yeah, I just remember feeling very, very lost and not having anybody to talk to at that point in time. So not knowing that things were good or bad. There were no consequences.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, I've talked ad nauseum, you know, through books and through our conversations about, you know, what it looked like for me. So today I just want to focus on like things that we can do. So of the cards, you know, I talk about the Veda Finds a Crown cards that I've created. They're all out of whack now. So I can't even find like the cover one. Like I got them all like in a pile, but you know, we'll turn them around. But where I focus on, it's the light, man, the characters from the book. I pulled a couple of cards. I'm not going to like read every one of them, but there were three that I pulled that I think were important to like focus on. One of them is it's about experiencing. Like, if you feel your sacral is out of balance, it's about experiencing the sensations. I just want to read the affirmation for it. I choose to feel joy and excitement often. Like, that's a big deal. Some people are afraid. Like, I know Rob sometimes is afraid to get too excited about things because in his head, for whatever his experiences are, there's going to be disappointment.
Yeah.
But the thing is when you're balanced, you learn to handle that disappointment. So you're no longer fearful of it. so you can be excited about life. You know what I mean? So experiencing the sensations. This morning, I went and I sat outside, as I do most mornings, and I closed my eyes. I'm like, what do I hear? Do you know how many different kinds of birds we have here? Like, I never noticed before because I never took the time to experience the sound of the birds. But I was like, oh, now I'm recognizing, oh, that's a cardinal. Oh, that's a blue jay. Oh, I think the woodpecker and the blue jay have beef. Like, I'm like, but that's just, but it's just
ridiculous.
I know. No, but they do. I do. Because when the blue jay goes to the bird feeder and the woodpecker comes in, the blue jay knows. Blue jay's like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm like, there's definitely
blue
beef
jays.
There.
Blue jays are assholes. Blue jays are assholes. And I actually wrote a song about a blue jay. So blue jays are jerks.
Yeah, but woodpeckers are dicks. So there's a hierarchy for sure. But anyway, I digress once again. The point is just sitting there, the sensations of listening to the birds, feeling the breeze, hearing the rustle of the trees, being aware of how my body feels. I never had the luxury or gave myself the luxury to do that. And in doing so, I feel when I do it such peace. Eating foods, we're like, nom, 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 because we're trying to fill some sort of void or we're in a hurry. We don't take the time to think about what our body needs. And I've gained the practice of asking myself, what do I feel like today? Do I feel sweet or savory? I start there. And then I go in that direction. And my body begins to tell me what it needs, what it wants. And then I go from there. Yeah. And the healthier we are and the more balanced we are, our body asks for things that are better for us rather than our mind and our broken, imbalanced, whatever. I'm doing the heart thing, asking for a cookie. It's asking for the apple. You know what I mean?
Yes. 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 You know, it's really interesting. I guess maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, 5 years ago, who knows, but I wrote, I did a practice of writing letters to my family. Never sent them, but it was a practice in letting go of the, you know, just emotionally and energetically, like cutting the ties, saying everything I always wanted to say, put it all on paper, and then I put it away, right? And I'm probably going to burn them, but they don't need to receive them. It was for me. But I'll tell you, my mother always had a giant fear of bugs. So thereby, I've had a giant fear of bugs. And after the letters, after the experience, after I integrated and moved on, like a week later, I sit next to this window and I look out my window and there's a little bee just emerging from the spring and it's on my thing and it's on the screen on the outside. And I sat here and I watched it and I saw its little eyes. I saw its little hands. Like I saw it cleaning itself and opening its wings. And I just sat there for 5 minutes experiencing this bee and like amazed by it. And I never would have done that before. But because of something that I let go, I was able to be like, to have my own experience that somebody didn't put on me with fear, you know? It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And it doesn't mean I'm still going to be like, ew, bees. I was like having the conversation. I'm like, cool, listen, you're outside. I'm inside. You can't come in, whatever, you know? So I don't know where it's going to go from there. But just the fact that I was able to do that and just be in that moment. And it was so, so beautiful. It was just a sweet little thing. I saw it for its cuteness and its life, you know? And it's such a little thing, but it was a big thing at the same time.
100%. And that is the health of the sacral chakra, the health of being able to just be and feel and enjoy the sensation. Again, experience that be. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the solar plexus chakra and how the imbalance of the sacral, like how we go into our identity in the solar plexus. So that need to do, go, 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 don't slow down. That drive is solar plexus, but it's built upon the root and the sacral. So I just wanted to explain like how they're connected to one another. But yeah, that moment you had, I remember you telling me about it, just to be there, just to see it. Oh, and oh, don't even get me started on my freaking river otters, because a previous version of myself, oh my God, there's a mommy and the babies are the both. I'm like, oh my God. But if I didn't teach myself If I didn't rebalance myself and teach myself to slow down, to be, to not just walk because I have to be fit, walk because I enjoy the nature and I enjoy how my body feels and I enjoy it in the morning because the world is waking up, and or at least my part of the world is waking up. If I didn't learn to enjoy that, that's a huge sacral chakra, and not the solar plexus that drive to be thin, just enjoy the walk, I never would have experienced those river otters and I wouldn't still be talking about them. So you're welcome.
I know. And then just two things too that I'm experiencing now. Like, so I went to that Pearl Jam thing by myself, mm-hmm. and I just bought tickets to go see something in the city by myself because mm-hmm. like I bought a ticket because I want to go. And I was like thinking, I'm like, well, who could I go with? I'm like, there's nobody that I want to experience this with. I want to go with myself, have a good like time in the city. I love myself. I love being around by myself. And that is pretty new for me. You know, yeah. It's like me yep. or me and my kids and like hanging out with you, like on the daily, on the phone, whatever, yeah. but that's it. Like, it's exciting and it's new. So it's fun. So something's balanced.
That is exciting though. When you in general learn to really, truly appreciate your own company, the whole world opens up for you, because when we're afraid to be alone, not only do we distract ourselves with the TV, the phone, like when I was in my 30s, I come home every night, the TV would go on because I couldn't be alone. I don't even know how to use the remote now. You know what I mean? Because that solitude, it's not because the solitude, it's because I'm an idiot, but really enjoying your own company. What happens is, and it's funny because I just want to read the affirmation on this card. I attract people who treat me with respect. So what happens is, when you're comfortable with your own company and you truly like yourself, you are no longer seeking out, again, seeking distractions, seeking numbing devices, seeking people to complete you. You're no longer seeking that. So you become more attractive. And when you become more attractive, you attract people who treat you the way you're treating yourself, the way you see yourself. It's all love attraction stuff, but it really is a cool thing. And that's why you're going on to this next chapter of your life. And at some point you will likely couple up again. It's just the nature of human beings. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there's nothing to fear, because it's going to be so different, because you're not seeking the way you were. Now you're just being, and this guy is going to have to be pretty friggin' awesome to be near you and then to be with you, because you are reveling in your greatness. Back to our opening monologue. Revel in your greatness. Be who you are. Be awesome. Woo woo. Okay. So okay. I got one more that I want to, and this one I want to read because I want to talk about it. I think we got a few minutes. I think that we could give this some time.
Yeah.
So the affirmation is, I am comfortable in my body and I treat it with care. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's important to have creative outlets. Creating art, playing music, writing, and performing are some creative outlets. What are some of your creative outlets? And what are some new ways you can express yourself creatively? And if you're into the crystals, orange calcite. But I do want to preface, before we get into our creative outlets, I think people pretty much understand what they are.
Yeah.
But yeah. So many people are going to say, oh, but I can't even draw a stick figure. It's not about that. It's, what can you create? It could be anything. It could be create your schedule for the day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's more than just picking up a paintbrush or picking up a guitar, you know?
Yeah. You know, I was talking with our friend Chrissy the other day. She came over for coffee. We hung out. And I was talking about how talk amongst yourselves. I was talking about how what we do does not feel like work. And I want to change. I want to remove the word work from my vocabulary. What am I going to do? Well, this is what I do to create. This is what I'm going to create today. It's the same word. It's the same thing. But all I do all day is create. That is my deepest desire, is the freedom to create every single day. And if my job doesn't feel like I'm creating something, creating a business, creating a to-do list, creating, you know, whatever, my son's schedule, a vacation, an experience.
Meals.
What am I creating for dinner? Yes. Oh my God. Dinner. I love cooking dinner. I love cooking dinner.
Last night. I cook dinner in the morning. I cook at 9 a.m. I'm in the kitchen cooking dinner.
For the week. But so for me, everything is about creating. It's not there. There is no work. Work sounds like heavy and dense and a chore, but I create my garden. I create everything around me. Christian, we were at Home Depot the other day and he was like, I want to buy tiles and do a project. I'm like, okay. So we got this. I was like, here we go. And we just glued tiles together because he wanted to. Cool.
And what it does is it sparks the imagination. And then we're talking the upper chakras, but it's a really important thing about the creation as well. And I love that you're shifting your perspective like that. Cause we talked a little bit about like things that you thought you were like kind of sabotaging yourself a little bit because of your mindset, Miss Guzzi. But going commando, folks. But when we, step one is understanding that we are the creators of our reality. And when the control is taken from us from when we're younger and we feel like we are not, then the building upon that and being creative in a more artistic way, it kind of dissipates. You know, kids, you know, third, fourth, you know how like when you were like in the fourth grade or, you know, kids drew people and they would draw the feet like a circle. Like the way you drew, like in like the fourth grade, like the head would be big and it would be a stick figure and you draw like a triangle for a dress. And then like in the fifth grade, that would evolve. And then in the sixth grade, it'll evolve. And if you keep drawing, and this is just one example, you can then be a much better picture creator, artist, right? As you get older, but something happens. We stop creating. Somebody told us our picture was bad or we didn't feel good or somebody didn't support it or whatever it is. And the skill that would have developed if we had continued it would have actually evolved into something. So you take an adult, you play Pictionary and you're like, draw me a person. And they draw stick figures with circles on the bottom for feet. And you're like, oh, you stopped drawing in the fourth grade because somewhere along the line, you stopped being creative. Make sense?
Totally.
So we, when it's phase one, if we don't believe that we're creators of our reality, then the other levels of creativity that blossom from that get stunted as well. So that's why it's important to go back and to realign ourselves and then take up a hobby. What do you feel like doing? You like to make bird feeders? Make fucking bird feeders, right?
Right.
The gardening, you started, that's a whole level of creativity when you started gardening.
I know. I got my seeds. I don't know where they're going yet, but they're started.
But you're doing it for the joy of doing it. You'll figure out where they go.
I'm doing it for the joy of doing it. See, that's a perfect example. You're right, because I'm not going to garden in my garden now because I'm going to be moving soon. But I didn't not grow my seeds, despite the fact that I don't know where they're going to be planted yet. You know what I mean? Like, I still did it because it brings me joy. Whether I get little pots and I put them on a terrace or I'm putting them in a backyard, I don't know.
And it doesn't matter.
But I didn't let it stop me. Right.
Because let's talk sacral. Right. You did it to exercise your creativity. You did for the enjoyment of doing it. I went on Timu the other day, and because I was sitting outside and I have succulents and I propagate them, you know, the little things. Well, if I propagate them, I have succulents everywhere and they're wild and they're crazy in these big pots. I throw them in pots with other things just to, and I went on Timu and I bought a bunch of little like 3-inch pots, like little ones, and I bought some gravel. I'm waiting for them. I think they may come today, but I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to cut them and I'm going to make all these little pots. And then it's like, oh my God, who am I going to give them to? And now I'm like, oh my God, I give them to their teacher, the kids' teachers. We're going to the dentist. They're going to get one. Like, but think about the level. Look at me talk about it. Oh, no, my pots are going. Stupid. There's no end game. There's no, well, I could sell them. No, I'm just creating and it feels good in doing so. So my two cents. Just find something you like to do, man. Something. A quilt. Quilt? Quilting.
Quilting, knitting, whatever. But Dana, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Doing so I get, right? If you want to feel good, right? And you want to do something that feels good, do something creative, whatever that looks like to you. But what does that have to do with an imbalanced chakra?
Oh,
like what does that have to do with it? Like what is it like? Cause I like to understand, like if I'm going to the mechanic, I don't know how to do the car, but I want to understand what it is they're doing and why and what it's going to help. Okay. It's going to remove that clanking sound. Great.
Okay. So I am always about going back, figuring out why the dysfunction, looking at it, poking it, you know, reconciling it, and then coming back to center. Like, so that, so what I'm about to say doesn't negate all that. If you have imbalanced sacral chakra, you know, it's worthy of going back and going, okay, what made it an imbalance? And then reconciling your belief about it and then bringing it to balance. But the point of doing something that you enjoy, a creative outlet, we're all creative beings. We are all creators. And we're all in our own little like speck of like point of interest. And we're all creating the world around us. So by doing something that you enjoy, in the simplest of terms, it raises your vibration. That's it. Mm. That's it. So there's no like, if you do this, you know, the clanking thing leads to the hissing thing, leads to the, you know, rickety thing. It's not that. It's just do something you enjoy. Listen, listen here, Fox.
Anybody, all right, bring it in, Sardano.
Okay, bring it in. I'm leaning in. I'm shaking my table. Anybody who knows anything about me knows that in 2015, I just decided to pick up a paintbrush with my husband. Just for Haas, let's do something different. And the act of picking up that paintbrush and inciting something, ooh, this feels good, and doing more of what felt good and continuing to do what felt good is why I sit here today with Angela, with behind me, behind her. Let's not even talk about all my, like, I want something up. Cards coming out by Bajiji.
For those who are listening, Dana just put up her book. She's pointing to like all of her billions of paintings that she's painted.
Oh my God, I got cards. I got all sorts of, because all I did was go, oh, let me try to do something fun, something that feels good, something I like to do, something different. And it awoke something and I followed that. So really the message is do something you enjoy. And then if it feels good, do more of that. And then if it feels good, do more of that. And then if it doesn't feel good anymore, so we'll stop doing that and then find something else that feels good and do that.
Yeah.
That's the, like, you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the meaning of life.
I was listening to Bashar. Bashar is a, he's a channel. He comes through, what is his name? Daryl Anka is a human, and Bashar is an entity that speaks through him. It's called channeling, whatever. And it's just like so brilliant. I understand what he's saying, but the thought one that I heard today is so relevant to what you were saying, was that our flow of life, our path is predetermined and guided by our higher selves. And the way our higher selves communicate that, like our brains, our human brains are only meant to experience this life. That's the job of the brain. But the higher self knows the path and guides the brain, basically. And the way it tells you what your path is by telling you, by sparking passion. Whatever you feel for a passion is the path you're supposed to be on. And when you don't listen to that passion, you fall into holes and you fall into traps, and then they pick you up, they dust you off, you know. But whatever you feel passionate about, I felt passionate about being a mom. I felt passionate about, I never felt passionate about being a wife. I felt passionate about being a mom. Like, that was my thing. I was never like, but some people do. Some people just want to be in a relationship and that's their passion. I felt passion to start a business. I felt passion to, you know, to do my creativity. And as long as I follow my passion, my life is freaking beautiful. Freaking beautiful. So follow your passion. There you go.
Oh, book plug. Talk a little bit about that in Dakota and the Woo Woo. Check it out at a store near you. But my books happen to be out because I'm recording them, so that's why they're here. Like this, I'm like, hey, really? Check it out. So that was
brilliant.
Awesome. That was awesome, Angela. And so on point. So on point. Like, I couldn't say it any better, because it's exactly it. Like, there's a plan. And if it feels good, it means we're following the plan. And if it doesn't feel good, we're not. So then do what feels good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And so, if it's blocking you, if something's blocking you from doing your passion, if something or someone or some situation is blocking you, it's time to look at that situation, not the passion. Like, don't question the passion. Question the situation that's blocking you. So I'm going through a divorce because of this, and it's a good thing. And I'm not mad. I'm not sad, because it was blocking me from my passion.
Yes. Yes. And question something in my eye. coming on to you. Question your belief about it. That's the big one. Because if you stayed, if you put aside your passion to stay, then your belief is I must sacrifice myself because I made an agreement or a commitment. I must sacrifice my passion. So you ask yourself, what is your belief about your passion? If you truly believe that you should, I hate the word should. If you truly believe that you are here to learn, to grow, and to feel joy and love while doing so, if that is truly your belief, then anything gets in the way needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
Right? Because if that's truly what you believe, and if it's not what you believe, then you need to start looking at your beliefs and questioning them and seeing if they serve you. So.
Yes.
There it is.
Good one.
All right.
There it is, folks.
Speaking of things that bring us joy. Like I said, so stupid. Like my husband makes fun of me, so stupid, but it brings me joy. So, okay.
We're pulling out the sign-off wheel, though, for our listeners.
Oh, yeah, for those who are listening. Oh, my God. Even if you're listening, head over to YouTube, because it is seriously dinner and a show here. I mean, I don't know why you're listening. You can watch this circus. All right, ready?
It is a circus. Go for it. All right, what do we got? Oh, okay. So I'd like to thank all of our listeners for making this show possible. And 10-pound baby Jesus. Thank you, my Jesus. You're the best. You're the best. Dana, who else do we have to thank? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. I would like to thank the sheep and the shepherds that helped deliver that 10-pound baby Jesus. When did little 5-pound baby Jesus become 10 pounds? That's a baby. So I would like to thank the miracles of modern science for allowing us to deliver 10 pounds of baby Jesus. So thank you. Thank you all.
Oh, and North Star, man, North Star for guiding those shepherds over the baby Jesus. You're a star,
oh,
baby.
Oh, my God. And thank you, wise men, frankincense, myrrh, gold. How did you know?
How did this award show become about Christmas? I don't know.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for watching. Thank you for indulging us.